Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody. I had carved out today to do a deep dive on Pelinka, seeing as now it looks like he's definitely going to be the guy. I wanted to go into positives. Obviously, there's plenty of negatives to it. And then the overall decision, analyze the overall decision. I'm still going to do that. It's still going to be the central talking point of this show because I do find it interesting and I do find it important for the Lakers moving forward to make sure that some of these thoughts are out there on him. But I start tonight, though, with the TMZ report about Luke Walton and his the lawsuit filed against him by Kelly Tennant, who at one point was working with Spectrum Sportsnet. That's kind of where you would hear the name from. There isn't enough information out there right now to formulate any opinion. My opinion here also doesn't matter even a little bit. Your opinion, nobody else's opinion here matters at all. Whether you think that this is a legitimate lawsuit, whether you think it's not legitimate, whatever you might think, it just doesn't matter right now. All that matters is that the involved authorities and the involved parties move forward however they all see fit. The Kings have already said no comment so far. The Lakers have said that they didn't know about it at the time. I believe the Warriors haven't really issued a statement either. It's way too early in the proceedings of all of this to do anything other than, you know, just wish Kelly Tennant the best. That would be my initial response. I hope that she's okay and that her family is okay. And then we all have to see where this goes from here. It's not going anywhere, I don't think. I think we're still going to hear about this in the days and weeks to come, whether that's whenever the Lakers offer up a statement, whether that's when the Kings offer up their statement, or if they choose to rethink hiring Luke, whether that's the Warriors, whether that's Kelly and her camp. Luke himself has yet to make a statement. It's way too early right now to do anything other than take a step back and see where this goes from here. Doing anything other than that right now, it would be about as reckless a step as anybody could take. And given this type of subject matter, people could lose jobs if you say the wrong thing. It's just not worth it right now. So as of right now, and I'm recording this, I'm recording this literally as late as I possibly could. I'm still going to try to get the show up by 9 p.m. Pacific time. It's 8:20 right now. As of right now, we have not seen any further statement from anybody. But suffice it to say that as we do get more information, as we get these statements, as we get all of these reports about what's been going on there. And by the way, there is still that ESPN article that is reportedly looming large over the organization as well. So things could get really tricky here. And there will be enough time to get into those subjects or cover those topics whenever we have enough information to do so. But what I'm not going to do right now is speculate one way or the other, or in any which way. I am just going to back off of this, and I'm going to proceed with the subject that I had entered into this podcast as the scheduled topic. So that'll do it for that aspect of it. I want to introduce this next bit, and look, there's no way to segue naturally, so I'm just going to dive into the subject of Rob Pelinka. It seems being elected as the key decision maker for the Lakers moving forward. In this case, as Pete and I have talked about, as I have thought all along, Jeannie Buss is prioritizing proximity, loyalty, friendship, and personal affection over what is potentially best for the team. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick second here, gather my thoughts, and when we come back, I'm going to try to get into the positives that Rob Pelinka brings with him. It's important that both sides of this conversation are covered so that if you do formulate an opinion, a negative opinion even, of Rob Pelinka, you do so as informed as you can possibly be. So we're going to take a quick second, and then we're going to come back and get into Rob Pelinka as probably, I don't know if he'll be named executive vice president as Jim Buss was once upon a time. I don't know if he's just going to fill Magic Johnson's team president role, if he's just going to be a general manager and have a skeleton crew around him. We'll see. But what I'm going to do, though, is we're going to take a quick second, and when we come back, I'm going to get into the potential positives of keeping Pelinka around. All right, just really quickly, it looks like the Lakers have issued a bit of a statement. This via Kyle Goon. Lakers say Kelly Tennant's allegations against Luke Walton were never reported to them. If it had been, we would have immediately commenced an investigation and notified the NBA. Since Luke Walton is now under contract with another team, we will have no further comment. And that's via Kyle Goon. They just sent out an email to all of us who cover the team as well. So, like I said, we'll see what comes out of that in the following investigation that's going to go in, if there is one, and all of that. All right, back to Rob Pelinka and the positives that he might have to offer. By just about every account, Pelinka is a sharp guy. He is a smart guy. And if you talk to Genie and the people around Genie, he is seen as an extremely loyal guy who was, in their opinion, a steadying presence when you know, Magic was either not there, or even in the times that Magic was there, he had the tendency to be a little volatile, as was reported. I believe Bill Oram reported that earlier this year after Johnson berated Luke Walton 7 games into the season. Johnson was seen around the team as a volatile presence. So it was Pelinka who stepped into the power vacuum whenever Magic wasn't around. And then even when Magic was around, it was Pelinka who, you know, offered the good cop to Magic's bad cop, I guess is one way to phrase it. Based on some other aspects of the organization, and based on his presence around, you know, his former clients and stuff like that, they have said that he was a fantastic agent, and that being a fantastic agent could sometimes rub teams that he was negotiating against the wrong way, which, you know, is not out of the realm. It's not weird, right? Eventually at some point, I'm going to probably look into getting an agent. And whenever I do that, I'm going to want somebody who fights for me, right? And man, isn't there, I think that's from a commercial. We'll fight for you. Remember that? I think it was an old accident commercial. Anywho, but in Pelinka's case, his clients the vast majority of his clients have said, he will do whatever he has to in order to get me the best deal that I could possibly get, right? Kobe swears by him. Kobe, I don't know if this is the case, but I believe Kobe might have even made Pelinka the godfather to one of his daughters. I might have that wrong. I should have that right. But they are extremely close. And what that tells me, and one thing that people have said about Pelinka was that he's very good at pleasing his boss. And in the case of his time as an agent, his boss was his players, right? The players he represented. In the case of his time thus far as Lakers executive and as a Lakers executive and as general manager, he obviously did a very good job of making Jeannie Buss comfortable with his approach to helping on the basketball operations front, right? So if what you're looking for out of an executive, out of general manager, out of lead decision maker, whatever his title is actually going to be, if what you're looking for is somebody who's going to be loyal to the Lakers, with somebody who will fight for the Lakers, and has a dogged approach to fighting other teams and doesn't mind ruffling feathers, then great. Those are aspects of an executive that are very, very important. And look, now some people consider him a little weird is how some people who've been around the Lakers have phrased their encounters with Rob Pelinka. Obviously, there's the press conferences that feature all kinds of biblical stories and awkward analogies. But if I was to judge somebody on analogies, I would be kind of a hypocrite, right? But all that said, there are aspects of Rob Pelinka's approach to dealing with people, and in this case, dealing with building a basketball team, there are reasons beyond just proximity, beyond just loyalty, that maybe Jeannie Buss thought that he made sense as an initial hire and then made enough sense since then to double down on that hire. And, you know, this isn't necessarily a positive about Rob Pelinka, but I think that the moment we all should have seen this coming, the moment that we all should have kind of recognized the direction that the Lakers were probably going to head in, even if Magic Johnson or somebody stepped away, was when Jeannie Buss went out there and blamed fake news for the Lakers' failures last season. That, to me, was somebody who was not able or willing to take accountability for any of the mistakes that she or the people that she hired have made, right, to lead to those failures. And when she did that and showed that inability to take accountability or to self-assess some blame for the situation, we kind of sort of should have known that she was probably going to roll with the injuries were all that failed the Lakers this season, right? And since then, her actions have backed that up, right? She has fired the medical team. She has kept Rob Pelinka around. She apparently is keeping Magic Johnson around, despite him stepping away completely unprofessionally, right? He told TMZ over the weekend that he talks to Jeannie Buss almost every day. So this is where I think you can kind of understand why Jeannie would keep him around and what Pelinka might have to offer. Now, in the next, and we've talked about the negatives of Rob Pelinka plenty. I'll allude to those at the beginning of next segment. But to me, what's more important than assessing negatives about Rob Pelinka and the downside to keeping him around, which we have gone over a ton, but one way that one point that I really feel the need to hammer home on this subject is something I'm going to get to on the other side of the break. All right, so let's start here. I never claimed to be a reporter. I never claimed to take myself that seriously. That's not what I'm best at, to be completely honest. I'm better at just hopping on here and talking to you for 30 minutes a day, right? And updating you guys on whatever's going on around the Lakers. To be a good journalist, you have to be able to find sources. You need to keep those sources happy. You need to be able to decipher which source is lying to you, what side of the story isn't being presented, where the truth lies. If you're getting information from two sides of a story, that truth is somewhere in the middle there, and you have to figure out for yourself where that truth kind of lies, right? And so that's not what I'm best at. What I will say, though, is that I I come from a PR background. As such, I was around journalists a ton. I am obviously around journalists a ton in this industry. And before I got into PR, I was either thinking about becoming a teacher or either, you know, some kind of a writer. So there are aspects of you know, releasing information that I kind of sort of get, that relaying information that I understand, right? How I have it is there were executives who were working behind the scenes to figure out what the Lakers were thinking about doing once Magic Johnson once he stepped down, right? And what I don't find to be a coincidence was the amount of bad press that Rob Pelinka had. I think that was pressure from two sides. I think there was some pressure from the half of the organization that was kind of sort of isolated by Jeannie Buss and by Magic and by Rob Pelinka over the last couple of years. And then there was also executives out there who have access to journalists who were out there trying to pressure the Lakers into opening up their replacement search for their own opportunity to either interview with the Lakers in the hopes of landing that job, or at the very least, leveraging the Lakers' vacancy into a better deal in their current situation, right? All of these executives understand how this goes. That said, I'm willing to go out on a limb and say there were some very good executives who were extremely interested in the Lakers' actual vacancy, so long as Rob Pelinka wasn't a part of the equation. And with that being the case, by keeping Rob Pelinka and never even talking to these executives, the Lakers have just taken in a huge amount of opportunity cost. And you know, what this means is, sure, Rob Pelinka might be a fine executive. He might even be a good one. But in order to make up for that opportunity cost, in order to make that opportunity cost worthwhile, he has to be elite. He has to be. So if the executives who were interested in the Lakers were as high ranking as the Bob Myers, who we heard a ton about, Masai Ujiri, we heard a few whispers around his parts too. We heard about Sam Presti being potentially interested. R.C. Buford, I didn't believe as much, but you're talking about some of the league's absolute foremost minds. And in order for Rob Pelinka to be worth the opportunity cost associated with not only bringing him back, but also never talking to those type of candidates, he needs to be absolutely elite. He needs to become one of the best executives the NBA has to offer. And if he doesn't, then the Lakers just missed out on a huge opportunity cost. And I would even argue, I'd take it a step further, that not only did the Lakers take in this opportunity cost, but by Jeannie having this vacancy open now twice, remember, she fired Jim Buss and she fired Mitch Kupchak. And upon doing so, the Lakers had vacancies throughout their front office that could have been filled by any of these such executives who were interested back then, by the way. So the Lakers thus far under Jeannie Buss's leadership have now foregone, they've passed up on the opportunity to completely revitalize their organization with some of the NBA's top thinkers, right? Those thinkers eventually are going to grow tired of these kinds of hiring practices. And now I still think should Rob Pelinka fail miserably and the Lakers find themselves with vacancies in these positions all over again in a couple of years from now, do I think executives and the top executives might be interested? Yeah. But do I think they'll be as interested? That's the zillion-dollar question here, right? Because by that time, LeBron James' contract could potentially be up, right? He might be elsewhere. By that time, the kids, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, those guys will have to have been paid. And by that time, the Lakers opening, that vacancy, might not be as intriguing just on that level. You combine that with Jeannie Buss's unwillingness to move off of her own comfort for the sake of what's best for the organization, right? And would I want to work for that kind of an owner? Probably not, right? And so there's a lot at stake here with Rob Pelinka, a ton at stake. And maybe it works out. Maybe it just turns out that Magic was too volatile, too inconsistent, and too tough for anybody to work with in a manageable manner. Maybe. Maybe all of these rumors about Rob Pelinka are coming from places where they were trying to force Jeannie's hand and force her into a decision that might not have been in the best interest of the Lakers, right? Maybe, right? What I'm not going to, what path of analysis I am not going to take is these reports about Pelinka came out of some type of grudge that the media has against the Lakers. That's one, it's not as true as people think. And two, that line of thinking isn't productive, right? I'll put it this way. Let's say in a group of friends, there's one person known for being late all the time, right? As a result of that, that person eventually stops getting invited to things, right? Or you know, it happens all the time where you grow apart because you and a friend of yours, you invite that person to hang out, and time after time after time after time, that person either doesn't respond or says they can't or whatever. And eventually you're just like, all right, fine, I'll find somebody else to hang out with, right? And now that person is probably going to respond to, if they aren't mature, right? And calling all the media Laker haters isn't a mature response. If that person isn't mature, they're going to hear about that reputation or see that course of action, you know, distancing oneself from hanging out with that person because eventually you just don't like being turned down all the time. If they aren't mature, they're going to respond to that with, oh, well, F you then. That's an erroneous reputation that you guys have levied upon me out of some weird grudge that you might have against me for whatever, right? And that isn't productive, right? If that person just takes a couple seconds, takes a step back and says, you know what, you're right. I haven't been as available lately. I do show up later. I do have you guys waiting for any number of reasons with any number of excuses, right? And I'm going to work on it. Well, then, if that's the response, good friends are going to say, hey, I appreciate the response. We'll invite you sometime in the future again, and we'll see where things go from there, right? And that problem can be worked out. And I think in this case with Rob Pelinka and the Lakers, they have to take a step back here and see that this reputation exists. And now the mature thing to do is to research for themselves where that reputation might be coming from, right? And then find the foundation of that reputation, address it, fix it, and move forward, right? But what they cannot do, and what we as fans cannot do, is to close our ears to the very idea of such a reputation existing, such a reputation being fair, and call everybody else haters because they all hate us because we won these championships, right? That doesn't do anything. That doesn't do any good. So the large overriding point here is, all right, Jeannie made this decision. She has to live with that decision. If it doesn't work out, she's going to take all the accountability. Pelinka does have his positives. He does have aspects of his character that might make him successful in this. But in order for him to be successful, he needs to be absolutely successful. He can't have another Ivica Zubac trade. He can't have another Mo Wagner draft pick. He can't do that, right? From now on, it's on him. And then by extension, it's on Jeannie. and how these things go over the next couple of years or so, not just in the LeBron James era, but moving forward as we see Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and all these guys approach their primes, what this means is everybody has to get this right. And if they don't, we'll see who gets held to the fire. As I said at the beginning of the show, the focus moving forward is going to be on, you know, some of this coaching search, which hasn't really advanced. They've had another couple of interviews. But right now, we're going to keep an eye on this Luke Walton situation. We're going to keep an eye out for that ESPN article, if it ever drops at this point. We are going to keep an eye on that coaching search and see what steps are taken here with Rob Pelinka. I keep saying last point, actual last point here. To those of you who believe the shadow executive report, I get it. I do. You see headlines like that, and they align with what you want to have happen for an organization that you root for, that you love. I understand it completely. As fans, that's what we have to do, right? Every so often, you have to believe the illogical in the very hopes that that winds up being what's best for the team that you're rooting for. It just so happens, though, that it just never felt all that realistic. Not just based on what we know about Jeannie and how she likes to lead the Lakers, but also from the standpoint of like the actual actions that were being taken at that time. Remember, Rob Pelinka was put in charge of the coaching search from a very early on point in that process, right? We kind of sort of knew already at that time where this was all heading. But all that said, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to laugh at. I'm not here to poke fun at anybody who believed those reports, because that's part of fandom, right? Believing against all odds that maybe this might still work out. It just so happens every so often, though, that they don't. But we'll see where the Lakers head from here. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Pete will be back tomorrow, and he and I will talk about all of this stuff. As I said earlier, we will see where things go in this investigation, and we will keep you posted as we need to. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. I'll talk to you tomorrow.